Hi, this is Rusty Morrison, and I'm reading my three poems that are part of layer 20 in my poetry's notes from the understory. So this is layer 20, direction 1. All of it begins. I'm soaked to the skin by a sudden downpour. My gray silk blouse won't come free from the skin of my chest. My arms. I abandon the meaning of silk and skin to a moth wing thinness, fluttering skyward. Sun returns to warm the blue question of what sky might become, which remains answerless as it fills with what seem to be clouds, but their only potential. All of it begins. I ask if there are still sleeves wetly affixed to what I thought were my arms. Will I act within only one meaning of arms? Judith Butler offers me Merleau-Ponty's reply. The meaning of flesh is texture, which returns to and conforms to itself. It begins. I wear flesh wet. I wear it moth wing thin. Judith Butler recounts how Merleau-Ponty's sentences surround her, adding flesh to her grammatical nature. My grammatical nature is a moth, still in larva form, not yet ready to change in ways I needn't predict. Layer 20, direction 2. Can a word have a nape? At my window this morning, I see a mother cat walking the top of my wooden fence. She has the nape of a kitten in her mouth. In her thrift of movement, nothing of her purpose is exposed, which makes the inwardness of her intention more densely exist. This is how it begins. I watch the cat's body move so deftly into itself that I believe it disappears. I have the nape of the word misapprehension in my mouth. I carry it without harming even one of its syllables. From Merleau-Ponty, I learn that a relation can only be relayed by a middle voice that will arise figuratively between the acting and the acted upon. It begins. I see morning's mist from my window. I walk outside to feel its cool density surround me, as it has surrounded all beings since there first were misty mornings on earth. I let the mist carry me by the nape of my neck. I am light to carry. And the last is layer 20, direction 3. Unable to sleep last night, I opened Judith Butler. Feeling precipitated by the touch of another initiates the sense of one's eye. I remember her recounting how she let herself be touched by a phrase she'd read in Merleau-Ponty. From my open window, I hear something make a rhythmic, rustling sound that I first think might be words, if words could move through my yard's tall weeds. I listen for what this might mean as I let the sound touch me. A meaning may be bleached down to only the bones of its nature. A nature that one might give flesh to. I want to be touched by whatever moves through the foxtails and fescue I've let grow wild and thick. I go outside. The elusive condition of one's own emergence continues to inform each and every touch, as this is its ineffability, says Judith Butler. My emphasis might be placed on ineffability, If I were to grow as thin as these cirrus clouds in the sky, I look up again, and they've vanished.